The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked him, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who went with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was walking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank Mother Leslie for including me in this very special service for our family. It is a joy to serve with you and an honor. And the last time we served together was also a wonderful, joyous occasion because it was when my son and Alexia got married.
So this is her grandbaby.
Yes. Yes. The cutest baby in the whole world. It's Monday. Jesus is dead. Two of his followers trudge along the road, leading away from Jerusalem toward Emmaus. There was no Facebook or tweeting to let them know Jesus had risen, not even a decent newspaper stand along the way. So to these followers, Jesus is dead. crucified by the Romans with the encouragement of some of the Jewish leaders. And all their expectations for Jesus as the Messiah of God died with him. They're depressed. They're feeling hopeless. As these guys walk along the road, they talk. What went wrong? How could we have been so mistaken? Jesus acted like he knew what he was doing. All of a sudden, a stranger catches up with them. What's the matter? You guys look terrible. This stranger doesn't seem to know much. What? Where have you been for the past few days? You must be the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know all that's happened. What's happened? The stranger asks. So the two disciples tell him. Tell him about this Jesus' death and how some of the women who went to the tomb reported that angels said he was not dead, but alive. Some of the men from their group went to the tomb to see for themselves, and they reported that, yes, in fact, the tomb was empty, but they weren't sure just exactly what that meant. The stranger then opened up the scriptures and taught them. We aren't told exactly what the disciples got out of the Bible study, but they asked the stranger, they begged him to stay the night with them, to break bread with them. Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly. The Jewish custom held that such an invitation should only be accepted if it is made with insistence. Well, it was getting late. It would be dark soon. So Jesus went into the house to stay with them. Jesus does not force himself upon others. God's grace does not barge in where not wanted. But when the risen Lord is invited, he does not hesitate to join us. The text says, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The act of taking, blessing, breaking, and giving was not unusual. It was the ancient Jewish custom. What made the act unusual was that Jesus took the bread. He became the host at this resurrection meal. And it was then that the disciples knew he was the Lord when he broke the bread. And what did the disciples do? Well, they didn't say, wow, this is a great spiritual experience. Let's buy this in and turn it into a church and stay here and relish this great experience. No. Instead, they ran right back to Jerusalem to tell the good news to the other disciples. The Lord is risen. Those women who came back from the tomb were right after all. This thing is not over. It's just beginning. God has won. When I attended the College of St. George in the Diocese of Jerusalem a few years back, we students were offered an optional walking trip on the road to Emmaus. What was interesting was the instructor told us that it might not be the exact road to Emmaus, for nobody really knew where Emmaus was. But Luke tells us it was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and this road we were going to travel did meet those qualifications. But so did a lot of other roads going out of Jerusalem from all directions. Which way led to Emmaus? Who knows? Maybe Luke wants us to know that Emmaus could be anywhere. Burning hearts and opened eyes need not be confined to any one place, either geographical or spiritual. As one commentator said, Emmaus comes into sight wherever a path leads us toward communion with God, and whenever we recognize the risen Christ among us. Jesus is still the host at the resurrection meal. He is here today at Good Shepherd, the unseen host as we gather around the table. He is here with us who have heard explanations, wondered about teaching, and listened to sermons. But it is in the breaking of the bread that we know him. The risen Christ shows up to us Christians just as he did to those two men at the table in the inn in Emmaus, rocking our world with life-saving presence. And like those followers, we just have to tell somebody. Someone loved each of us enough to show and tell us the good news. We know what we know and believe what we believe because of witness and testimony. Today, we have a new opportunity to pay it forward, to witness to my grandson, Hugh. In a few minutes, we will baptize him into the body of Christ, the church. In the rite of baptism, the parents and the godparents, with God's help, will be responsible for seeing that Hugh is brought up in the Christian faith and life. Parents Cabot and Alexia, and godparents Rachel and Jared, through their words and deeds, will witness to Hugh. They will strive, with God's help, to provide a good model by faithfully living Christian values in their own lives. They will strive to study Scripture and the Creed, to regularly attend the Eucharist with Hugh in tow, bringing him to the table for a blessing, and then, when he is old enough, to receive communion. Under their guidance, Hugh will learn to pray, to ask God for help in times of trouble, and to offer him thanksgiving in the good times. The rest of us, we who witness these vows, promise to do all in our power to support Hugh in his life in Christ. All in our power. Whew. Well, that's a tall order. But it is what God expects us Christians to do. Hugh will grow in his faith as he participates in Sunday school here, in the church ministries, and other activities, and is welcomed at the Eucharist each week as he experiences the love of this Christian community. Parents, godparents, grandparents, and all of you at Good Shepherd are to tell Hugh the good news. Neither you nor I are the very best representatives of the Christian faith, nor are we the most eloquent spokespeople for God's love. But we are the ones that God has chosen for Hugh. Emmaus comes into sight wherever a path leads us toward communion with God, and wherever we recognize the risen Christ among us. Our task is to provide that path, those experiences that will lead Hugh toward communion with God, and through the breaking of the bread, his recognition of the risen Christ in his life. One way or another, the light of Christ has shone on each of us. Now, it is our great joy to share that light with our newest Christian, Hugh Cabot Bartlett III. Tell him. But don't just tell him. Show him. The good news is ours to share. Amen.